We've recently, in fact, just 1 week ago, we were at the feast, but we are home now. And it was a very, very inspiring, very uplifting Feast of Tabernacles. And I can honestly say that this year's was a better feast than last. Last year, the feast that we kept, I told Mr. Nance I felt like a total stranger by going there. You know, that was our first one with United. And I knew very, very, very few people. But this year it was nice to be able to meet up with those of you here that were there. But there were other people that we knew, and we were able to go out and have lunch with them. And so it was a feast that was different. This one was so much better. We had spent all of last year preparing for that feast. I know you did too. And we've already started preparing again for the one to come. But when we left to go to the feast, we left a lot of things behind us that bothered us. There are things that we were having to deal with in life. And so it was always such a delight to get away from all of these issues and go and for 8 days live with peace and harmony with each other. But those 8 days, they came to an end. And as we came back, I started coming down with a cold. And I knew right then, you know, I hate to think of the next few days. And sure enough, it was a cold. But here we are, 1 week back from the feast. And things are beginning to take place. Some of them I don't like. I had to put my old buddy down as a cat. He's a cat, had him for 19 and a half years. And I'd go to sit at my desk, and every time I sit at my desk, he's going to wind up on top of the desk. And I've even had sermons before, be working on them, and he'd be up there, and then all of a sudden you look at the screen, and it's deleting. He's got his foot on the delete button, and it's just wiping off line after line after line. But he was still my old buddy. You know, just move him off, try to recruit, and try to figure out what it was that you said. But we have a year, brethren, ahead of us until the next Feast of Tabernacles. But we've also got a winter that we're faced with. And it's going to be a long, cold, weary days that we are faced with. And we are beginning to put aside, even now, our tithes for next year's feast. And next year will come. That feast is coming. And we have 12 months to endure the things of life and to start looking at that feast and asking ourselves questions about the year. Usually when I come back from the feast, I like to drive. I do like to drive. My wife wants to fly. I want to drive. Because I can do a lot of thinking. I think about a lot of things when I'm driving. And on the way home, I get to thinking about what is it going to be like, not only for me, but what is it going to be like for all of you there this coming year? You know, one of the things I know we don't like to think about it, but I've asked myself many times, who will not be with us next year at the feast? You know, death is going to take some people's lives this year. It will. It may not be you here, but God's people, they're scattered. And death will take its toll. This past year, I've known quite a number of people that died. And they're not necessarily older people. You recall at the feast, if you went to Branson, they wanted to show of hands of how old you were. It wasn't how many years you've been coming to the feast. It was, how old are you? And they started with 70 and above, and all the hands go up. And they said something like 60% were 70 years or older. And so we saw kind of a demographics of the church that we are an older people. But we look forward, even at that, we're looking forward. We try to lay things in the past, we try to lay them back out of sight. And we look forward. And life as we know it is not easy. Every one of you know it. Mr. and Miss Runnels here, they've celebrated their 7th wedding anniversary. That tells me they're at least 71 or 2 years old. But they have gone through life, and they have experienced things that many of us will not experience in our lives. The older generation of people, they've gone through trials, tests, they've gone through good times, they've gone through bad times, hard times, easy times. And we have that in all of our lives. We go through things. And life is a challenge. With what's going on in the world and what is going on in our personal lives, it is a challenge. And we're challenged in this life because God has something in store for us. Something that is greater than anything we have now. We have our homes. We have cars. We even have, some of us, maybe, a bank account. Oh, I very well remember. I very remember after we were married, the challenge it was to just pay the bills and the rent. We didn't have a house. We were having to rent. And over the years, the fights, not between my wife and I, but the fight of just trying to have something in the bank. I can very well remember getting paid one time, and after we paid the tithes and offerings, we had nothing. You know, we paid the bills, and that left with nothing. So life is different for every one of us. We've all experienced different things particular to you. Because God, He's up all of these things in our lives for a particular reason. And God knows what we are going through. He knows exactly, brethren, what you are going through. We're not fooling Him one bit by trying to hide things. You know, when we talk to one another, we don't always admit what's going on in our life. There are things that we just try to keep to ourselves. But God is always there. In Isaiah 46, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 46, he makes a statement. That tells us how much God is aware of us. Because in Isaiah 46 and verse 10 it says, we'll begin in the last part of verse 9, it says, I am God, and there is none like me. And I think that's a statement that we all can agree with. There is nothing like God. And he says in verse 10, he says, declaring the end from the beginning, from the very beginning, the day when he created Adam and Eve, he knew what the end would be. And so God is completely aware of our lives and what is going to take place in it. He knows what it's going to take to change us to conform to what He wants us to be. And every day, God is aware of that. I think it's Job that said every day, every morning, He's there. What is our purpose for being in the body of Christ? God has a purpose that we sometimes forget because of the daily struggles that we go through. That is consuming so much of our thoughts and our time. God wants us to be a part of that glorious family of His. And we have to ask ourselves, are we really ready for it? All of these things that we experience in life, it's like a puzzle that comes together. And there's a picture that's being formed. And we have to go through life. And we have to experience those things in order that we can know what God wants from us. Today, I want to talk about something. I want to look at the coming year. We've already lived last year. But from this moment on until the feast of next, we don't know what's going to take place in our lives. But whatever does take place, brethren, it's going to be for our good. What God has prepared for each of us individually for this coming year is tailored to you specifically, to me. The title of my sermon, I forgot. The title of my sermon for today is, What Lies Ahead for You, Personally? For me, personally. I'm not talking about what lies ahead for this nation. I'm not talking about what lies ahead for the world. I'm talking about us as individuals. I've got about four things I want to talk about today. And the first one, it's a given. It's trials. They're just as much a part of our life as the shoes we wear, the clothes we wear. They are such an everyday thing in our lives, and they're necessary. They're necessary. And we have to come to expect them. And they're not on a schedule that we can look at and says, oh, today this is going to happen. They come from out of nowhere. They come from out of the blue. They come from out of the ground. Everywhere around us, it seems like we are faced with these things. Every one of us, every one of us, not a one of you sitting here today can say that you're free from them. I think it would be interesting, really, if we could just take every individual person, sit down, and just talk about their life. What they have been through. Be very interesting. Even from the youngest on up, our lives are so interesting. Because, brethren, we all want to be in God's kingdom or we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't have kept the Feast of Tabernacles if that was not what was in our minds. We went and we kept 8 days. We kept 7 days that pictured the millennium. The eighth day, the resurrection of all those that have never had the opportunity that God has given to us. We're to be in the kingdom of God. And Christ says you have to be born again if you're going to be in that kingdom. Trials sometimes are extremely painful. And birth into that kingdom is going to be a painful thing for us. I've never given birth to a baby. Never will. And I don't care what they're saying in the news, man will never do it. I understand, though. I do understand that it is a painful thing. you mothers, you can probably shake your head yes to that. And life is painful. And there are times in life when we have to go before God and we ask Him to please give us a little breathing room. Give me a little bit of a breaks thing. Yes, they are difficult. It's difficult. It's like a little child trying to learn to tie their shoes. You know, to some of us, to most all of us, that's no big thing. But you know, to a little child, that is a trust thing. And sometimes our trials may not be such a big thing to this person or to that person. The person that's going through it, to them it is a big ordeal. I very well remember teaching my children to ride a bicycle. And I'm thinking, oh, I'll be glad when they learn. I'll never do this again. But how do we deal with things when they come up on us? How do we deal with these difficulties in life? You know, we've got a whole year to the next feast. I like to mark my years from the end of the feast to the beginning of the next feast. That's the way I look at my years. I don't look at New Year's. To me, my year stops at the end of the feast. And time to sit down then and look at things. But how do we handle all of life's difficulties? Are we going to handle them this year? We're going to become sick of politicians, I can tell you that. I don't pay any attention to them anymore. It's just not something that interests me anymore. But things are going to happen to us, brethren, and how are we going to handle them? How are we going to deal with it? Do we want our way? We have to face up to things that things are going to happen this year that's not going to go the way we would want it to go. And yet, we've got to deal with it. Sometimes we have to just admit that there's nothing that we can do about some of these things. I remember very well going through some things in the past. There was a trial that we had to deal with, my wife and I, our family. And it lasted month after month after month, and then it went into years. And then it came another year. And one day, I sat down and I was thinking about it, and I said to myself, there's nothing you can do about it. And so I got on my knees and I told God that. I says, I can't handle it. It's yours. It is yours. I throw my hands up. I quit. 2 weeks later, it came to an end. But I had to admit to God that I couldn't do it. This cross that is placed upon your backs, my back, it's heavy. It's heavy. And you recall when Christ was crucified, they had to get him to carry that beam that he had to carry. And sometimes, maybe we need someone else to help us. Maybe we need to have friends that you can talk to and share what you're feeling, what you're going through, how it's affecting you. But you want to have friends that are friends. My daughter told me one time about shadow friends. When the sun is shining, they're there. But when it's cloudy in your life, they can't be found. I would hope that we can build those relationships with each other so that we can trust and share with each other what we're going through in life. You know Christ, the Son of God, his life was not easy, brethren. I don't care how you look at it and you read it in the Bible. His life was not easy. There was a weight on his shoulders that no man could ever carry. And what did he tell us? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. And verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, I think we all have that desire in us right now to go after what Christ is like. And he says, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. We are to take whatever situation that comes up in life that God has put upon us, and we're to bear it. We're to bear these things in faith that God is going to see us through them. Trials are a very important part of our lives, but we don't see it that way because we have this thing called human nature. And too often, we want to do it our way. But you know, when it comes upon us, it is what it is. Just for services, I mentioned that to someone we were talking. Jim. But it's in my notes too. It is what it is, brethren, when we're afflicted with these things. And we don't enjoy them. Even though Peter tells us to count it all joy. It's hard to do that, isn't it? It is so hard to count these things joy. But you know, when it's over with, we do have joy in it. We have to accept these situations in life that God has put on us, because there's a reason. There's a reason that He's brought that upon us. Do we have the faith that God is there and that He's going to see us through these things? There will always be an end to a trial. But it may not come tomorrow. It may not come next week. But there always will be an end to them. In all of our trials, God is finding out things about us. I think about Abraham when he was told to kill his son Isaac. And he had him on this pile of sticks. He's going to light the fire and he's going to take the knife and he's going to kill him. And God stopped him because He says, "Now I know." God is going to know us, brethren, by how we handle the things that come in life. Another thing that we are going to have to face this year, discouragement. With the feast behind us, and with the winter months staring us in the face, you know, sometimes it's so easy during that period of time to become discouraged because the days are short, the nights are long, and the days are gray and cloudy, and we're in our homes and we think about things. We get to thinking about all of these trials and things that we go through. We think about life and how it's going in life. And sometimes we get to thinking about self. We get to thinking about us, me. And it starts getting a little discouraging, brethren, to think about what is happening. You know, we all come back from the feast so excited. But you know, too, we've got a time of year that's not so exciting. I don't like cold weather. My son lives up north. A few years back, it was minus 52, I think it was. Man, if it gets 42 here, I don't want it to go any lower. But the long gray days are in front of us, and sometimes we get to thinking about ourselves and we fall into a condition of being discouraged. Little things discourage us. And sometimes these protracted trials lead into discouragement because we want them to be over with. And God's people, they do become discouraged. I don't care what people say. We do. I don't care how positive they tell us we have to be. We are to face things that will be discouraging to us. We let self-pity drag us down to a point sometimes where it's difficult to get back up. I look at some people. I want to look at some people of great renown, people of names. Turn to Psalms 42. Psalms 42. And verse 5. This is, it says here, a contemplation of the son of Korah. But in verse 5 of Psalms 42, it says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul?" You know what cast down is? It's a term used for herding sheep. And sometimes a sheep, when it went to lay down on the ground, because of the weight of wool and all of that, maybe it's wet, maybe it's got mud in it, I don't know. I'm not a sheep. But it would lay down, and somehow or another it would kind of fall back on its back, roll over, and it'd be on its back. And it can't get up. All of the struggling that this animal puts out, it cannot roll itself back up. I've sat and I've watched bugs sometimes get over on their back. And I'll watch them for a while and I get to feeling sorry for him. I flip him back up and hey, off he goes. But that's what this word casts. It says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me?" Hope in God. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Can you picture that? Someone whose life is so down. All you got to do to some of these nursing homes and look at these old people. And there's no hope for them getting up in life again. Yes, when you read the Psalms, go through the book of Psalms, you'll find David was cast down times too. He was discouraged. And if there's anyone that the Bible talks about that was discouraged, would be Job. Think about Job, what he went through. There was a man that had everything that he wanted in life. He was rich. He had a big family. He had the herds, the flocks, had the barns, and all of that. And then in just a very, very short period of time, everything he had was removed from him. Everything that he had worked his life for was gone. Put yourself in his shoes. What would you be like? Just to lose your family. What would it be like? You've worked your life. You've saved your money. You've built up enough account in a bank. And then the government step in and take everything away from you. I know a man that it happened to. He was in church. Had a business. Very successful. Making all kinds of money. And one day, the county police, the state police, the district attorney, and all of those people showed up at his door. And you know why? He had gone to the bank and made a withdrawal for his business, and he withdrew over $10,000 in one day in cash. That was his only fault. But there's a law that says you can't do that. And they raided his business. And 2 or 3 years later, he's still being drug out of courts. And they took everything. And they realized that this man was not really guilty. Yes, he did take them, but it wasn't for drugs as this law deals with. And so to save face, the judge fined him $1,000 and told him to go home. It destroyed him. It destroyed him. Too long ago he died. Job had all of this taken from him. Let's look at another one that got discouraged. Let's turn to 1 Kings. Chapter 19. You know, in the transfiguration with Christ and the disciples, the three, this man's name is mentioned. 1 Kings 19 and verse 4. Here's talking about Elijah, one of the greatest of the prophets. It says here, but Elijah, he went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die. And said, it is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's. You talk about discouraged. he had just gotten rid of all of the prophets of Baal. And because this queen, she said, I want him to be killed. And he took off running for his life and became so discouraged that he wanted God to take his life from him. Turn to Numbers 11. Numbers 11. And we'll begin in verse 11. Moses. So Moses said to the Lord, verse 11, why have you afflicted your servant? And why have I not found favor in your sight, that you have laid the burden of all this people on me? Did I conceive all these people to get them, that you should say to me, carry them in your bosom as a guardian carries a nursing child to the land which you swore to your fathers? Verse 13, where am I to get meat to give all these people? For they weep all over me, saying, give us meat that we may eat. I am not able to bear all these people alone because the burden is too heavy for me. If you treat me like this, please kill me. Here and now, if I have found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my wretchedness. How would you feel if you were Moses? You know, sometimes what we go through in life puts us really in the same situation these people. What they went through. You know, that's pretty brave to say that to God. Discouragement, it comes when we take our eyes off the goal that God has set before us. And sometimes when we get A lot of times when we become discouraged, we're like we're all alone in it. We feel left out, alone. But we're not. We are not, brethren. You are not left alone. I want to tell a little story here. This happened back in 1969. And my wife and I, we weren't married at the time. We were still meeting each other, seeing each other. And we had driven down to MacArthur Park. Well, we lived in Little. We drove over to MacArthur Park. And we were going to go through the park, just walk around, talk. But as I parked the car, a man walked up to my window. And he gave me a story about having car trouble, blah, 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 blah. And he asked me if I would give him a ride. I was new to the church. We had only been in the church for a few months. And where I came from, if somebody put a thumb out, you just felt obligated to stop and get them. Pick them up, take them someplace, drop them off, talk to them. And so I told the man, I said, yeah, just jump in the back seat. And he told me where he wanted to go. I didn't know a thing about Little Rock. So he had to tell me where to go. And so he directed me off to just south of the airport. Now, there was no freeway that went around that part of Little Rock. It was just south. And he directed me down this road. And there was no houses around, nothing in that area, just bushes and a dirt road. And I got to thinking, you know, something just doesn't seem right. And when the wheels on, he said, just stop. He says, I'll get out, walk to my uncle. He'll take me where I need to go. Well, just as the wheels stopped, he had a tire iron or a steel pipe or something hidden down his pants legs. And he proceeded to try to kill me. First thing I know, I'm hit right up in here. And I mean to tell you, my vision left me. I couldn't see a thing. And right behind that was another one. And I'm thinking, oh, you can't take this. You've got to do something. You can't. So I threw my hand up, and when I threw it up, he hit me again. Now, he thought that it was just the three of us in that car, and it was. There was three of us. My wife can tell you that there was a very strong voice. She heard it telling him to get out of that car. I did not say a word. I could think. I did not say a word, but those words were heard. And that man got out of that car and ran as hard as he could to get away. And I was glad that he did it. But you know, I've thought about that many times over the years. You think back on things. Where did that voice come from? God or an angel, they're with us, brethren, everywhere you go. And it doesn't matter the situation that you're in. He's there. He is there. So don't be discouraged about life. Don't be down, brethren. Don't stay down. Don't stay down. Another area that we're going to have to deal with this year is our health. You know, again, I think about when they ask up there the age of the people. And we had the champion of age there. Yay. Our health. We live in a time where diseases are becoming more and more rampant. And no one is immune from getting sick at any time. I came back a day later, I'm coming down with a cold. My wife has got it now. My daughter come down with sinus infection. My son and his family, when they got home, they had colds. COVID is still running around in this country. All of this is happening to us. And as hard as we may try to avoid coming down with something, it still happens. Cancer, heart attacks, strokes, other serious major problems, and COVID. The earth is sick, the air is sick, the water is sick. And all of these things are things that we depend upon for life. You know, this past year, I've gone to several funerals, even conducted one not too long ago, of people that I loved. You know, it's God's people. And it doesn't matter what they call themselves by the groups, United Living, COGWA, this or that or whatever. We're still God's people. And we do get sick. Some are living in a continual state of pain. It's just life that we're going to have to deal with, brethren, this year. Because if you're 70 years old now, you'll be 71 then. And the older we get, it seems like the more that we have to deal with in this area. And how quickly can our health depart from us? You know, for a lot of people, just a simple little pain, they ignore it. They go on to work. They go about life. But that simple little pain is not so simple. Because next thing you know, you're fighting for your life in some operating room. Some of us sitting here in this room, some of us, we're going to notice a change in our health. I hate to say it, but it's a fact. It is going to happen. Turn to 3 John. All the way back to 3 John. You know what I'm going to read. Third John, verse 1, it says, to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health. I don't know what Gaius was going through, but John was praying for his health. And God wants us to prosper and be in good health. And He's given us numerous laws and scriptures that educate us on how to have good health. But you know, even by giving us all of these instructions, God knew that man would be sick. He would come to be sick because we sin. We sin. You know, it's hard to tell people you're doing something wrong or you've done something wrong. But if we were to really sit down and think about it, brethren, and read the scriptures, it's because of sin, whether we committed it or somebody else committed it. Turn to Isaiah 33. Isaiah chapter 33. In verse 24. And the inhabitants will not say, I am sick. The people who dwell in it will be forgiven the iniquities. You know, we're talking about the millennium. We're talking about a time in the future when God is going to forgive the people. And they're going to be made well. Turn to Matthew 9. I've got to hurry up. Matthew chapter 9. Verse 2. Chapter 9 of Matthew, verse 2. And behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed, and Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, Son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you. And at once some of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemes. But Jesus, knowing their faith, said, Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, Your sins are forgiven you, or to say, Arise and walk? But they did not know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sin. Then he said, Paralytic, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. No, we don't like to think that we cause so many of our own illnesses. I've struggled for years with headache. And sometimes I know I'm going to wake up in the morning and I'm going to have a headache because I go to sleep way, way too late. And I get up and sure enough, it's there. And the doctors have gone to doctors. They did MRIs of my head. They've done tests on arteries and all that. And I'm thinking, you know, all this is a waste of time. I'm the one. I'm the one that has caused all of this. I confessed to a doctor one time I was the problem. Kind of caught him off guard, but I liked him anyway. Well, brethren, we will, at some time, we are going to come down with something, whether it be the common cold, what. And God tells us, He knew that we would get sick, and He gives us an answer to the problem. Turn to James. James chapter 5. And I'm going to have to quit. James chapter 5. verses 14 through 16, it says, anyone among you is sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Brethren, God tells us to do that. But I've heard so many people say, oh no, I don't want to bother the minister. Don't do that. Don't do that. Mr. Nance, Barry, myself, that's our job, brethren. I want you to understand that. That is our job. And it's not a job from 9 to 5. It's from whenever you get up to whenever. It doesn't matter. Please, brethren, take advantage of God's goodness, His greatness, His grace, His mercy. And if you're sick, call for them. Well, brethren, I'm cut it short, but I hope, our only hope to get through what lies ahead of us is if we stay close to God and stay focused on God. And I hope that when we go to the feast here, that we will be survivors of this year that's facing us. So I hope it'll be our prayers also, brethren, that you will all have a good year.